We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith here, joined right now by Brandon Pelter, talking some Penn State wrestling. And Brandon, boy, the Penn State train just keeps rolling, doesn't it? 28-13 over a really good Iowa team that was ranked number three in the country at the time. Sold out Bryce Jordan Center. They set some kind of record for a non-football attendance, too, and it seemed like a pretty awesome crowd there.
It really was an incredible environment, and being in the Bryce Jordan Center kind of that one time a year, it really does make things very special. And so you're right, they did set a new Penn State athletics record with the most in attendance at a non-Beaver Stadium event. They also set an NCAA record for wrestling attendance at an indoor venue. Iowa has the outdoor venue record with something like 42,000. But for indoors, it's now Penn State that holds that record.
Yeah, and the environment. I know Cale Sanderson is pretty insistent on not expanding that beyond the once a year. I think a lot of people would think it's awesome, but I also see wanting to preserve that and keeping that one Bryce Jordan Center match special. And they love Rec Hall too. You can't discount what Rec Hall does for them, especially after they beat Ohio State there. And speaking of that, two weekends in a row, two big wins for Penn State. They're the Big Ten's now outright dual champions. I think a lot of people all along, and probably for a while, I was guilty of just assuming that Ohio State was too much for Penn State. And they proved that wrong last week. They really, not everything went their way. And we'll touch on that more, of course, against Iowa. But, you know, they still throttled a good Iowa team. It's just hard to combat the depth and the bonus point power, and just the, I think what you saw against Iowa and against Penn State, or against Ohio State too, is the timeliness. And there's just something that you can't really quantify, or, you know, just the ability of Penn State's wrestlers to rise to the occasion. It was Nick Nevels against Ohio State. It was Anthony Cassar against Ohio State. This time around, you know, you get a loss to Vincenzo Joseph that you didn't really expect, and especially when he's up 5-2 in the third period. But then you go back-to-back pins, Mark Hall and Bo Nickel, and some other big wins along the way. There's just something about what this team does, especially at home, where they pick each other up.
And I think, to me, it really proves that mentality that we're constantly hearing in the room. I mean, there's a point where you think, okay, this is a lot of coach speak, and these guys have really worked on what they're going to say, and they're on point with their message. That's great. But now we're starting to see these kids really believe it. I mean, when you're talking to Mark Hall and Bo Nickel about how, you know, they're not really satisfied if they step off the mat without a pin. And so when you have that kind of mentality all season long, and then you're thrusted into a situation where it's a close dual meet, and your team's either trailing or they've just taken the lead, it doesn't really add too much pressure that you want to get that pin, because that's really always the goal. And, you know, Dustin, it's interesting. During the meet, I was looking back. Okay, Penn State has now won 44 straight, including this Iowa win. How many have been close? Because I figured, you know, at a time before the Hall pin, I think they were down 13-9. And so things were really tight. I figured it was going to be a close finish. They've only, in this win streak, won by 5 points or less twice. Both of them were this season, against Lehigh and against Ohio State. So this team is not used to close duels. They're not used to kind of gritting by the skin of their teeth. But I think the mentality always has been that we're going to keep going, and it's that next man up mentality. And so when they're thrusted into these situations, it's nothing new. You know, I laughed a couple weeks ago when we would continue to ask Cale about 197, and he still has the same message. He said for the first time to me, oh, I wish we had that problem elsewhere, where he had to make that kind of decision, where he had that depth and that kind of battle in the room for a starting spot. And I'm thinking, okay, that you know, that's another coach speak situation. That's just him. He just wants the battle in the room, whatever. Didn't think much of it. And then you see a guy like Jason Nolf go down – you know, in the next man up, Bo Pfeiffer, while he's giving it his all, there's that huge drop off. And it kind of shows what he meant there is he really did believe that. But he's got a tough decision to make at 197, although I think the mentality from all these guys has them in a great spot right now.
And, you know, the 197 issue is still at play. We know that. I want to talk about that. But I think this, to me, this is just a time to just marvel at how this program has put together. And, you know, I think it goes down to, you know, and you can stop me, this is overly cliche, but I don't think that there's a pressure situation that can really top the amount of pressure that they put on themselves. And I think it's one thing to say that, that Penn State can actually do it. And I think it goes back to recruiting and the ability of Kale Sanderson to find the guys who have the right stuff to thrive in his environment. It's hard to, you know, there's not a whole lot of big-time misses in Penn State recruiting history because, yeah, I think these guys know what they're looking for. It's hard to find it. It's hard to know if you've got it or not. But to find the right attitude and mentality and the guys who are going to stay aggressive and not be overcome by big moments, I think this is just what they do now. They thrive in big moments because they're built to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And kind of a little example here, a lot of times when Kale is recruiting, he will wrestle with the guys to see if they will legitimately wrestle him and really try to take him down and really try to beat him. And that kind of teaches him a lot about a wrestler and where they are mentally and what they have to offer in the room, not only from, a wrestling standpoint, tactical and kind of how good they are as a wrestler, but also what will they provide leadership-wise, mentally, that kind of thing. And Kale has things figured out. I mean, he was one of the best ever in college to do it. We all know that and had a great career after that as well. But this is a guy that he has found something and he has a huge leg up on just about every other coach in the country and really in the world with working with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club as well. He's got something figured out and he's really just kind of a step ahead of the game and continues to push the issue. He doesn't really settle when it comes to the recruiting trail either. And it makes things easier. I mean, we see it with football. Things become much easier when you have a winning program and a successful program. People want to come to Penn State. People want to come and wrestle for Kale Sanderson, and he's making the most of that and continues to just push his team. I think he's a guy that will never let his team settle. And that's why we see them just continuing to have so much success.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're talking Penn State wrestling after 28-13 win over Iowa. And I want to start looking at the Iowa match a little bit more closely. I want to start with the loss. You know, I want to start with Vincenzo Joseph leading 5-2 over Alex Marinelli, a really good wrestler. I think number 7 in the country, a redshirt freshman. Kale Sanderson said he just relaxed a little bit in a moment and he got caught. And I think maybe it's the wake-up call that you saw late last season for a couple other guys. But in the long run, maybe Chenzo's a little bit better off for getting that wake-up call.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we saw really Joseph for, I would say, probably 75% of this match look kind of like he was in control. I mean, he started things off controlling Marinelli, trying to look for that inside trip, although Marinelli was ready to kind of fight it off and back out of things. So I wouldn't say for Vincenzo Joseph that's a bad loss at all. I agree with Kale. He just kind of got caught late, relaxing for a second, and Marinelli took advantage of it. I mean, listen, he was ranked 7th, so you've got a top 10 guy, and I would say in most weight classes, you know, we could see anybody win, just like we saw Kassar last week against Ohio State. And so you, I think, learn a lot from it. I think Vincenzo Joseph is a guy that that's always ready to kind of flip that page. I remember at Media Day talking when we asked him some questions. He's never watched his win over Isaiah Martinez from last year. It's always about turning the page, and I think if he can continue to do that, but learn from this experience, he'll be better off for it.
Yeah, and we'll see how it pans out as we go forward. And, you know, but it, for Penn State in this duel immediately, it creates some nervous energy, some nervous moments there, and you start to do the math and think, okay, what do they need to atone for that? Well, Mark Hall and Bo Nickel both cradling and pinning is a pretty good start.
I think that's just about all Cale can ask for, and I think it was also kind of funny to note Mark Hall did it in 1 minute, which is impressive enough, and then Bo Nickel had to go out and one-up him in 50 seconds, so kind of beating him there by that 10-second mark. But I will say that there was that one moment in the BJC where things got really interesting after Vincenzo Joseph lost, because, you know, a lot of fans and even myself included, you saw Pfeiffer at 157 thinking, okay, this is, you know, probably a loss here, and then we'll see a good stretch, and Nick Nevels will put up a good fight at heavyweight at the end, too, against third-ranked Sam Stahl. And then you see Joseph lose, and now your team's down by 4 points, and Shore, Hall, and Nickel are favored. You're not sure what you're going to get at 197 against another ranked opponent. And heavyweight as well. So things got really interesting. But as always, guys stepped up for Penn State and Mark Hall and Bo Nickel, and that's why this team is so good.
We got about a minute. I figure we might as well talk about Shakur Rashid at 197. Let this just get out of your head. Just where's this all going at 197? Because I don't think anybody really knows. Cale Sanderson might not even know at this point in time. But so he's the guy now. It was Kassar against the number one wrestler in the country, Colin Moore, last week. He's the guy to beat, not only beat the number seven wrestler in the country in Cash Wook, but an 11-2 major. That at one extra bonus point, you just who knows how much you need that.
Yeah, I mean, it was looking like, so Shakur late in that third period was really working for that additional takedown to grow that lead to that major decision, and wasn't sure if he was going to get it, but late he did. He added it on, and I think that proves a lot to Cale and the staff, but I think you're absolutely right. We don't know what's going to happen at 197. I will say it seems like Penn State really does have two All-Americans in the room, which is incredible to believe, and two guys that could probably really battle for first place. So Cale has a really tough decision to make, and I don't know, is he going to continue to switch them off? I think we kind of said for weeks there has to come a time where he chooses a guy, but how do you choose?
Great question. Good way to end it there. That's Brandon Pelter talking some Penn State wrestling here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And that's it for us on this edition. You can always join us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and download the Keystone Sports app for the latest. We'll see you next time.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.